everyone.
Welcome, everyone. It's so lovely to see you again.
So good to be on the call with you. Some of you we know, and some of you we haven't met yet, and we're really looking forward to this call with you. So I'm Linda, and I wanted to say that the last time we spoke about how does the Earth School teach you? And there were a few things we talked about last time. We talked about how the Earth School teaches you through meaning, and we talked about it teaches you through your emotions and thoughts. We also talked about intuition a little bit, and we talked about how the Earth School teaches you through interactions. And I remember a few people said the awe of nature, and also through experiments, through your experimenting. But one that we didn't really go into, that we're going to go into today, is how the Earth School teaches you through passion. And beloved, I know you had some thoughts about that.
I always have thoughts about the Earth School, about passion, about you,
yes,
about creating authentic power, and about spiritual partnerships. I love them all, you all. So what Linda and I do before each event or for each call is see what we can focus on that might support you in the very best way. And a lovely thing we've discovered is that we get supported by supporting you. So it's really a rich situation and circumstance. That's the way the life school is. And that's the way the Earth School is. Mm-hmm. So the more you support others, the more you give the gifts that you were born to give, the more that you contribute, the more that you receive. When you don't, you don't receive very much. So if you're looking at your life and wondering why you're not receiving very much, consider that. If you're looking at your life and you're grateful for how much you're receiving, consider that too. And then consider if you want to make any adjustments one way or the other. Mm-hmm. I suggest that the best adjustment to make is always to give more. But because you now know about, or most of you, or many of you, know about creating authentic power, before you give, what's most important is to know your intention for giving. And the intention is always love or fear, to contribute or to take. So creating authentic power is a journey into awareness. You're already in the Earth School. Now it's a matter of developing an awareness that will help you navigate the Earth School, and most of all, learn how to contribute from love. This is what everyone will learn sooner or later. But the Life School will help you focus on that, can perhaps give you a framework to consider. It's not a framework that we created. It's not a framework that is human created, you might say. It's our new evolutionary modality now. That's what this call is about. That's what all of our events are about. And this particular call is about how the Earth School teaches you through the use of passion. Those of you who were with us last month, as Linda pointed out, had a really lively discussion about the other ways that the Earth School teaches. For example, through meaning and interactions and experiments and the things that Linda talked about. So now we're going to talk about passion. But what is passion? You know, I used to love to ski, especially in the backcountry. But any place there was snow, I loved to ski. And I thought I was passionate about it. I knew I was passionate about it. I could hardly wait for the winter to begin and for the first snowfall to come. And I could get up on the mountain, which was Mount Shasta, in the fresh, powdery snow. I loved it. I thought I was passionate about it. But here's the thing. Now, a few years later, well, actually 20 or 25 years later, I'm looking at all of that in a different way and seeing that what I thought I was passionate about was actually a way of escaping. It was a way of avoiding people. It was a way of avoiding giving. And mostly it was a way of avoiding the pain that I was experiencing in my life, which as I became more and more aware of it, surprised me completely. So that wasn't passion. That was an obsession. That was perhaps a compulsion. But it wasn't coming from love. And if it's not coming from love, that's not passion.
Did you notice what you were feeling when you were doing that? Did you ever notice that?
No, not too much. I knew about authentic power. I'd written a book about it and I was practicing it. But I had farther to go. And actually, it was when we started teaching and offering events that I really began to learn more and more and more. Not learn more and more. I already knew more and more. But to see it in deeper and more relevant and personal ways. And that's what will happen to you as you deepen your experimentation with your life and your practice of applying authentic power.
I was thinking about how when people do things for the thrill of it, when and so that it's kind of like that. It's like it's not necessarily the passion that we're talking about, right?
That's not passion at all.
Right, right.
That's not seeking thrills. It's for you. It's not for anybody else. And if something is only for you, it's coming from fear. Passion comes from love, and it has to do with other people. Let me give you not an example, but the example. When you're giving the gifts that you were born to live, to give, when you are giving the gifts that you were born to live, which means living the life that enables you to give the gifts that you were born to give, then you discover what passion is. That's not the passion that goes to sleep when you're tired. That's not the passion that drains you because you put too much into it. Of course, everyone gets tired, but I'm not talking about that. Passion energizes you. It fulfills you. You want more of what you're doing. And more of what you're doing does not drain you or overwhelm you or make you nervous or feel that you're not adequate to the job. It just makes you want more. Oh, I can give you an example of real passion that I didn't realize that early in my life, but I experienced it. That was when I wrote my first book called The Dancing Wu Li Masters. Before that, my life was all about motorcycles and sex and experimenting with drugs and then starting that, rotating those things again. Then I got invited. And by the way, I wasn't passionate about any of those things. I was obsessed with them, compulsed with them, and when it came to sex, I was addicted to it. But then I discovered, because I was invited to a meeting of physicists at the Lawrence Berkeley Laboratory, a passion. Those fellas and one woman who formed the whole group, Elizabeth, were talking about this question. Are we creating the reality that we're experimenting with? Oh, that was marvelous, because that's the kind of question that I spoke about with my coffee shop court. But these were professional, world-class, some of the best in the world, theoretical physicists, and they were really giving it serious thought. And that question caught me. Something registered in me. And I came home. And I was so excited. I felt like sparks were coming off my fingertips, like I'd had three cappuccinos in a row. But I couldn't explain any of it. Well, maybe you felt that way when you first read The Dancing Wu Li Mass, The Seed of the Soul. And you felt excited, but you couldn't quite tell anybody what was exciting you. But you knew it. And that was an experience for me, of passion that ran for years until that book was written. A book that became, well, first of all, there was no book at the time. There was just excitement. And then I decided to share what was exciting to me. And I didn't write it for me. I wrote it as a gift. And I knew I was writing it as a gift. That's the kind of thing that is passion.
Would you say that excitement was really passion?
Yes. That excitement was passion. When you... Yeah. I'm just looking at your faces now, those you can see. And Doug, I remember the first time that we were at an event together and we were talking and something happened in you and I could tell it. It was thrilling because I could feel it in me. And you cried a little bit, but it wasn't tears of sadness or or it was joy. Something was registering. That's the onset, you might say, of passion. So you can cultivate that. How do you cultivate that? You cultivate it by creating authentic power, because creating authentic power is exactly the process of distinguishing between love and fear and choosing love. And passion comes from love. So that is a big way that the Earth School teaches us. It teaches about all the other ways that we discussed on the last call, but it teaches us through passion. So you can look at your life and see those things that you're passionate about. But those things have to do with gifts. They have to do with other people. They have to do with meaning. They have to do with purpose. They don't have to do with accomplishing.
Oh, I've got a good one then, beloved. Okay. I was thinking about...
I mean accomplishing to satisfy yourself.
Right.
Yes.
Right. So, I don't know, it just kept coming up. So, when I decided to run a marathon many years ago, I had a friend that I was practicing with, actually training with. And I'd run, you know, like 5 or 6 miles a day for a few months. And I wasn't really training like a lot of people do, but I just wanted to know that I could possibly do that. And I'd run 10 miles on the weekends. And then one time I ran 20. And I thought, oh, wow, I think I could run this marathon. I think it's possible. If I could run 20 miles, maybe I could run the marathon. So I kept working on it. And so when the day of the marathon came, I really wanted to run the whole 26 miles. I wanted to run that marathon. And my friend was with me. And my mom was actually there too. She had never run a marathon before either. And so we were running. She was, I was running with my friend. And so what happened was, as we were running, we were like about 20, and my friend started getting cramps in his legs. And he said, I can't stop. I have to stop now. I have to quit. And so I thought, well, I really want to support him. I knew I wanted to support him. So I said, you know, let's just walk a little bit and just see what happens. You know, let's just stop and walk and just see what happens. So I just stayed with him and we just walked a little bit. And I knew that he might not do that, but I didn't want to have my accomplishment of running 26 miles to be more important than he and then supporting him. And so I just stayed with him for a while. And eventually, after maybe 10 minutes or 15, his cramps started to subside. And I said, well, why don't we just run slowly and just see what happens. And I just kept encouraging him. And so we ended up finishing the marathon. And it was just such a beautiful thing for me, because I was more excited about him finishing than I was about me finishing. And I didn't realize, you know, how significant that was at the time, because it just filled me with joy to do that. And it seems like a really simple little thing, but for me, my wanting to accomplish running a marathon was completely obliterated by my wanting to support him. And to me, that feels like passion.
I love that story, beloved.
Yeah.
I love that. It's what I love about you too, among many other things, is your passion is people. Mm. Your passion now is helping people create authentic power, because you see when they're in pain. And you can even see how they're in pain. Mm. So I love that story. That's always been one of my favorite stories about Linda, but it's also been joined by many others since then. So this is the beginning of some thoughts about passion, and we can go more into it. So what I'd like to know is what you think about passion.
Oh, yeah.
So, beloved, do you think you could...
Now, do you have any maybe experiences you could share?
What do you think you have? Could give us a little...
Oh, sure.
A little warm-up.
Yeah, let's just do a little... if you can, this will help you to reach inside and see if there's anything that comes up for you that you'd like to share. So if you can, of course, if you can't, don't do it. But if you can, close your eyes.
If you can close your eyes safely. Of course, not while you're driving. Maybe not while you're in an airport. But if you can, close your and feel safe. Close your eyes.
Yeah. So go ahead and do that. And just calm yourself for a moment. And so I want you to reflect. Just open yourself to how the Earth School teaches you through your experience of passion. Open to your intuition to help you to see. It could be something that has happened with you, or maybe you've seen it, but just let it open yourself to that. To see, how does the Earth School teach you? Through passionate acts of passion. Passion in yourself. Pick an especially significant time that you, even if it's in retrospect, how the Earth School taught you through your experience of passion. Just like I said with my marathon story, I didn't realize it was passion until later. So maybe there's something that happened that was significant that really was about passion. How the Earth School taught you that through your experiences. So go ahead and just be with that for a moment. Okay, so just take a deep breath, and if your eyes are closed, go ahead and open them. And you can raise your hand. We'd love to hear from you, to hear what your experiences are. And I think I'm going to have Gail explain, just in case you didn't know how to, you don't know how to raise your hand. So Gail, could you let them know, please?
Yeah, good morning, everyone. If you're going to join, if you join the call on your cell phone and you want to raise your hand, just press *9 and that will raise your hand. And if you've joined by your computer, at the bottom of your screen, you'll see an icon that says participants. Just click on that and a menu will come up. And at the bottom left, there's a little green hand, and just click on that, and that will raise your hand.
So does anyone have anything they'd like to share about passion and how the Earth School, that they could help us see how the Earth School teaches through passion?
Mm-hmm. So as you're being with that, I'm going to go ahead and call on, I think it's either Pam, is it Pam or Kristen? Pam or Kristen? I'm not sure who raised their hand because you're both there together.
Yeah, it's Pam.
Okay, hi Pam.
Yeah, hi everyone. I've been traveling, and last evening I just had a most marvelous experience with really challenging frightened parts and compassion, I believe. I wouldn't have thought about it that quite that way until you said something, Linda, but my luggage was delayed 24 hours, so, I mean, I was really challenging frightened parts, but they were still very strong. So I've been to, this is my third trip to the airport to pick up my luggage, and there'd been a lot of confusion. And there was a young woman who finally went in the luggage room, and I thought, oh, wow, I mean, I just was thrilled that I was going to get my luggage. But she said, I can't give it to you because I'm not a Delta employee, and I had flown Delta. So then I really, I mean, I knew I had frightened parts active, but boy, I was kind of swirling because I really, my frightened part really wanted that luggage. And so after a little conversation, I mean, I really did act from a frightened part, but I thank heavens I saw it later. I said to her, I said, well, what if I just take my luggage? What will happen? And she looked at me with such, I can't even describe it, but it really touched my heart. Because what my frightened part, it just wanted what it wanted. But and that woman was literally between me and my luggage. She just looked at me and she said, oh, please don't do that. And she said, you have no idea what kind of trouble that will be for me. But what I saw in that moment was really this compassion for this woman. I mean, we were really looking at each other eye to eye, and I just had such compassion for her. And for me, because I could really see how that frightened part was just so intent and what it wanted and didn't really care about anything, literally between me and my luggage, which is where she was. So, I mean, I just, your story about the marathon, that's what made me think of this, because I really feel like I did experience true compassion, because I just saw it in a whole different light. I mean, the frightened parts were still active, but I knew I didn't want to act on them. So.
Wow, beautiful, Pam. Mm-hmm. Beautiful. Mm-hmm. That was creating authentic power, clearly, consciously, definitively. And the compassion, that connection that you felt with her, that's compassion. But your passion for creating authentic power is what allowed you to do that and to mm-hmm. have that experience.
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. I mean, I have no doubt that that's, I was so grateful for the awareness. I mean, even though the frightened part was so strong, I mean, I could see it and I can learn from it. I mean, that's the beauty of it. And I am learning from it and I want to learn from it.
And when I say passion for creating authentic power, that could be confusing, I feel. It's your passion for life, your passion for people, your passion for love. Creating authentic power is an instrumentality. It's a way of looking at your experiences in the Earth School. It's an accurate way of looking at them. It's not artificial in any way, but it's helpful. But the real passion is in life, is life itself, is giving. And if you're only thinking about yourself, you're excluding a whole lot of life itself.
Would you explain what you said about authentic power again? It sounded, I didn't understand it.
Yes, I said at first, it's Pam's passion for creating authentic power. Uh-huh. But it's the reason for creating authentic power that where the passion comes in. And that's to not be controlled by fear, or mm-hmm. put another way, to access love. To access meaning and purpose. That's passion. To align your personality with your soul. That's the passion. Mm. And as you do, you become aware of the fact that the loving parts of your personality are passionate about the earth, are passionate about others, are passionate to give the gifts they were born to give. So at one time, I was very much, I would think of myself as an environmentalist. But I'm not passionate about environmentalism anymore. I'm passionate about the earth. I'm passionate about helping people see the earth as a living entity that is co-creating, that is a host to a co-creative species, and we are that species. Mm-hmm. And it's not because I'm caretaking the earth. The earth doesn't need my caretaking. The earth is going to exist whether we continue to exist or not. But I've become passionate because the earth is a magnificent, in-our-face example of life that we usually ignore continually.
We can. Yeah.
We can. When creating
we're
authentic
fear,
power.
When we're in frightened parts of our personality.
And that's where creating authentic power comes in.
Yeah.
It helps you recognize when you're in frightened parts.
Right.
But thank you very much, Pam. Does anyone else have...
Yeah, I wanted to check. Hepzibah, did you want to raise? You raised your hand, and I don't see it raised right now. Did you intend to do that?
Good morning.
Good morning.
Well, I didn't. I thought nobody had raised their hand, and I had something come to me immediately. So when I saw that there, you had a couple of others, I took my hand down because I didn't want to take up space in someone maybe that haven't never shared before, but.
Whoa, Hepzibah. Let's stop there for just a second. Do you think that might have been a frightened part of your personality?
Yes, I was teaching myself. I said, you know that's your frightened personality, right? But I, yes.
Yes, that's beautiful. That's the first step in creating authentic power. That's the first step, is to recognize it. Now, the second step is to challenge it.
Okay.
So that would have been keep your hand up. So it's not as though you did anything wrong. You're learning because this is how the Earth School teach it. But that's, you're exactly right. That was coming from fear. So thank you. So now you're going to tell us something.
I am, and as you, the two of you know, and some of the others, my journey, you know, has landed me with you guys for the sake of dealing with the religious part of my personality, which I may add has just been so phenomenal, and it's opened me up to so many beautiful things. So I always want to take an opportunity to tell you guys thank you so much for what you do. But I realized that my passion, the Earth School is teaching me, you know, my passion is truth. And so Christianity, I'm learning the Earth School is teaching me that Christianity was only like a course in this school. It was mm-hmm. not the degree, if you will. It was not the major. It was like taking Christianity 101 in order to pursue a degree in truth. And so that's a realization that I've had, is, you know, my passion is truth, and Christianity being a part of my personality was only given to me, or I had the opportunity to experience Christianity in my journey to my passion for truth. So, you know, and having experienced, you know, very fearfully and very nervously, but yet tapping into things that, you know, I knew it was undeniable truth, like being in this class, there's undeniable truth because of the transformation, you know, that I'm experiencing and that I'm experiencing with others, with who I am towards others, walking in the authentic power, like that's undeniable. Those are things that, you know, the Bible speaks of, which was my first realization of truth, you know, where I was first introduced to truth. I'm sure there were other things that were teaching me that, but, you know, Christianity was the first course that I realized that's what was being presented to me, was someone saying this is the truth. And so, but just, you know, of course, through nature, you know, there are undeniable truths. There's a summer, a winter, a spring, and a fall, because you can't deny it. You get cold when it's winter. You can't say, no, it's still summer, and you're shivering, and you're adding more clothes, you know, to stay warmer. So that's what my realization of that the Earth School is teaching me, you know, the eternity, the infinity, the vastness, the omniscience, the omnipresence, the omnipotent of truth, not religion, but of truth. So that's what my realization of what the Earth School is.
That is magnificent. Mm-hmm. That is so, you've taken a huge step, mm-hmm. a huge step into your fullness and your wholeness. Mm-hmm. Because everybody has different ways that they're approaching truth, much less the ability to, and the ability to recognize it. Mm-hmm. And sometimes those paths can appear quite different. And the paths are different, but the truth
the is The truth is, different. Yes, yes. You know,
Linda and I were watching a national telecast of the funeral, of the funeral service for Whitney Houston, this magnificent black singer. Uh-huh. And the black Baptist preacher who was giving it said something I'll never forget. He said, I don't know what in his sermon brought him to this, but he's talking about a Muslim. And the preacher said, "The Muslim said the preacher, I wish I had met the Christ before I met the Christian." Mm-hmm. And I knew just what he meant. Mm-hmm. The institution, a religious institution, is not an expression, a clear, mm-hmm. clean, unfiltered expression of love. Mm-hmm. It's not an expression of the universal truth at its core. In the yeah. in the case of Christianity, that is love. Uh-huh. And so most Christians are still encased in the institution, uh-huh. and that prevents them from the universal truth at its core, which right. in the case of Christianity is love.
Right.
I remember the first time I took a vision quest, and my Sioux uncle guided me, and it was on Mount Shasta, and I was so surprised at a couple of the things that I discovered there. One of them was, my life is not on this mountain anymore. It's with people now. Mm-hmm. And the other thing I discovered was, and this really surprised me, I'm bigger than this culture. It was the Lakota culture that brought
me. Wow.
Yes. So thank you so much for sharing, Hepzibah. It's so wonderful.
That's something that I had at the beginning of becoming a Christian. One of the things, I just used the terminology that I know to use, that God told me was, no church can hold me, and therefore no church will ever be able to hold you. He told me that years and years, over about maybe 15 or 16 years ago, that no church could hold him, and therefore no church would ever be able to hold me. And so when you said that about your uncle being bigger than the Sioux culture, that's how I know that he's come into contact with truth. That's what happens when you come into contact the truth. The universe will not allow you to confine it.
Express can't even experience the fullness of a soul, much less the fullness of the universe. But a personality can express love. And creating authentic power helps assist that. And you encountered a personality who was free in that first preacher that you met.
Wow.
He wasn't bound by Christianity. And Linda and I have met some clergymen and clergywomen that are not bound by the religious institution that they've adopted. So thank you again, Hepzibah.
Thank you, Bo.
Great to hear your beautiful words.
Oh, we got a lot of hands up now.
We do. Let's call on Diana. Diana.
Okay, I'll be right back.
Hello there.
Hi, Diana.
Hi. One of my passions is creating nutritious, healthy food, especially soups during the winter. And cooking a lot this winter, mostly plant-based, because that's what I'm doing right now. Mm-hmm. And what I do with that is I take it to friends. I take it to, if I find out a friend is sick, then I'll take it to them. And it gives me so much joy to do that, you know, especially if they like it. Right? I've given away so much soup this winter, and it just feels really, really good to support others when they are feeling under the weather or just don't feel like cooking or whatever. Then I can take I want to say burden, but I'm not sure that's the right word. But because for some people, and it used to be true for me, trying to create, you know, figure out what to eat for dinner, just it's like, oh my God, here we go again, you know. But anyway, so I've been enjoying that, and I feel pretty passionate about, providing that for my friends.
Yeah, and sharing with friends is always such a beautiful thing. The thing that you can look at every time you want to give something to someone is, what's your intention? So always look at that too, because what if your friend doesn't like the soup, like you said, especially if they like it? And what you might want to look at is that maybe it doesn't matter whether they like it or not. It's just your act of giving. And so if you have any attachment to them liking it, then there's some fear that comes in there. So just be aware of that.
Thank you. Yes.
It's helpful. Yeah, because when you give, it's with no attachment if it's coming from love. And that really is a passion. It can be a passion to do that. Could be to give things to people that will nourish them.
Yes, but be aware of whether or not you might be caretaking. This is where creating authentic power will help you. You can use your emotional awareness. Caretaking appears to be beneficent. Mm-hmm. It appears to be giving gifts, but the intention behind the giving is to make yourself feel better, more worthy, and safe. That's caretaking. And caregiving is giving
with no attachment.
With no attachment to the outcome, no second agendas.
Whether they like it or don't like it.
Just the joy. If you want to cook wonderful soup, it's because the soup is wonderful and it feels wonderful to cook it in.
And you want to share it.
And it feels good to share it.
Yeah.
And if the woman says, oh, yuck, too much pepper in this soup, it doesn't affect you
because
you have no attachment to the outcome. The gift was clean and clear. It left no trace.
So it's a wonderful experiment. You can continue to see when there's attachment and when there's not. It'll help you, support you, and being able to tell the difference between, like Gary said, between caretaking and caregiving. Because one is for you, the other is for truly for another person. Thank you, Diana.
So, my beloved, who?
Appreciate what you had to say. We're going to move on to, let's see, Sula? Hello.
Hi.
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 For me, my passion has always been teaching. And moving from teaching from a frightened part of my personality into supporting a loving part of my personality. And that's how I distinguish the two words, or I can say teaching from a loving part of my personality. When I was little, I used to teach, go on to have my two siblings in front of me and go on the blackboard and teach them. Mm-hmm. And I just remember just loving just doing that. In hindsight, I could see also how the frightened parts of my personality were doing that so I can be seen and to be noticed and to be the big bossy sister, even though my sister and I are only 11 months apart. Fast forward into my later on in my life, I also remember with friends, I used to be the person that would, say a wise word or support with a positive remark or encourage a compliment. And I used, looking back at that part of my life, I used to see how my need to please and be liked was very, very strong. But also looking at how I also loved when I gave that and it made the other person feel good. And so fast forward, I got a job at a school board in Montreal, and I remember walking up the stairs and saying, here I am as a CPA getting a job at a school board, like, go figure what the universe does, a teaching organization. And I always wanted to be a teacher. So here I am, I get a staff of unionized employees. With much lower educational experience and also experience. So my teaching frightened part of my personality that feels superior and wants to feel superior was very active. And obviously that didn't work very well. And it has been a journey for me to see that. And, getting into the program and learning about creating authentic power has been just invaluable in seeing, these parts of me that were frightened parts of my personality that were teaching, but also the passion that was always there behind that loved to give my gifts of knowledge and wisdom and what I know that's in my heart. And just moving into that right now, continuing to challenge frightened parts as I do that and supporting myself in creating authentic power and others in creating authentic power and just, doing that with my family at home and even at work, if it's a situation with, one employee and we're just having a conversation by the coffee machine, it's just a joy for me and a passion. If in that moment I'm in loving part and I want to say something that could support, I will say it. And it's just something that is my passion to do that, to create authentic power and to bring that love in me to heal, because this is how I heal. This is how I heal these frightened parts of my personality when I do that. That's a gift.
Yeah.
Thank you, Sula.
And it's so perfect how the Earth School is teaching you. It taught you, like, your passion is teaching, but to actually teach with passion, you had to challenge all the frightened parts of your, have continuing to challenge the frightened parts of the personality that keep you from being able to give your gift, your passion of teaching. And it's beautiful the way you described what you've been doing. So thank you so much. I appreciate that.
Thank you.
Yeah. Yeah. Thank you. Mm-hmm. I have to call on Leanne. I'll unmute you, Leanne, in a moment.
Hey, y'all.
Hi, Leanne.
Hi. Glad to be here. I have 5 kids, and I've recently become an empty nester. And I felt some empty spaces, obviously, and
what
I'm trying to kind of fill them with creativity.
What did you say, Leanna?
Can you hear me?
Yes, but I didn't hear what you
empty
said.
Let me try to get on a different, hold on.
Yeah, your voice sounds a little muffled.
Can you hear me now? Better?
No, not better. But we can
hear. Can you hear me now?
Yeah.
Yes, I can hear you.
Yes?
If you could speak a little more slowly, that, I think that would help here.
Okay, I have 5 kids. I've recently become an empty nester. Can y'all hear me?
A what master?
Oops, I think, are you there?
Okay, maybe this is better. Can you hear me now?
Sure. So you have 5 children and you've recently become?
I've recently become an empty nester.
An empty
and
nester.
Empty nester, yeah. And I've had empty spaces to fill, and I've been, you know, pursuing some creative pursuits, and that's been wonderful. But then I started supporting this candidate who was running for the Texas, you know, for in a local race for the health district here that I live in. And I began supporting her, and I started block walking and hosting block walks and trying to get out the vote for the Democratic primary. And then, and I was feeling very purposeful, and my goal was to get out more, you know, votes for Democrats. And then I was assigned to go greet voters at the polls. And I was having the best time. And I felt so purposeful and passionate. And what I learned was my initial goal was to get more Democrats out to vote. But when I was greeting people at the polls, I could tell who was a Democrat and who was a Republican, because the lines for the Democrat primary were so much longer, and the Republicans would pop right back out after 5 minutes. And so when they came back out, I mean, I would thank everyone for voting. And when the Republicans came back out, I thanked them for voting too, and I really meant it. And I was not there for my original purpose. I was there because I felt so passionate about being involved in the democratic process, and I was just so thrilled and so happy to see other people participating in the democratic process, no matter if they were the same party I was in or not. And I ended up greeting voters right next to a Republican, and she was saying, well, if you're Democrat, vote for my candidate, and if you're Republican, vote for mine. And we were helping each other, you know, and it was just a great experience, and I felt very purposeful. Just wanted to share that.
Leanne, that's beautiful. Now you can you can transfer or expand that experience. Your passion was the democratic process, and you discovered that people who differed from you, you wanted to support them both because they were all in the democratic process. You can apply that to life. There are people in life, as you become as you become passionate about life, you begin to recognize everyone in it is in life. Mm-hmm. They're all in it with you, and you can be passionate about them, whether they're yellow or they're black or they're white or they're red or they're Asian or they're Hispanic or they are Christians or they are Hindus or they are Democrats
or
they
Buddhists.
Are Republicans.
Doesn't matter.
Or whether they're young or whether they're old or whether they ride in Mercedes or on motorcycles. They're all in life. And you can begin to become passionate about supporting all of them with love, just the way you discovered that you were passionate about supporting both Democrats and Republicans in the democratic process. Is this making sense to you?
Yes, absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Wonderful. Thank you so much for sharing, Leanne.
Thank you, Leanne. That was beautiful.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Like to call on Janet. Let's see if we can unmute you. Hi, Janet. I can't hear you. Oh, wait, you're not muted. You're I'm not unmuted right now. There you are. There you are.
Thank you.
Hi.
So your story about the marathon reminded me of a story when I was about, I don't know, first grade, and a new girl, I guess I was also new in the school, and some other girls were teasing her and bullying her. And I don't remember the details now, but I just remember kind of just getting involved and befriending her and, you know, saying something to the other kids. And I realized when I heard your story that, like, oh, that was the beginning or one of the early signs of my passion for just relieving suffering and doing, I don't know, some kind of a healing journey that I've been on and really feel passionate about helping others to do that as well. So that's, you know, and of course, sometimes I do it, you know, and I ended up going into a profession that, you know, supported that. Other times I definitely act from fear, and at other times from love, and I'm really working on my intention in doing that. But what I'm most passionate is when I forget about the, you know, am I being judged? Am I being, you know, all of the external power, fearful parts of me, and I just forget everything, and I'm just there with the person and connecting and feel. It's thrilling, you know. I just feel very energized.
It's powerful.
Yeah,
it's powerful, isn't it? That's authentic power. That's a soul to soul connection. Mm-hmm. There's no second agenda.
Yeah.
But to get to that, you have all kinds of frightened parts that come up that you need to challenge so you can be in that place.
Yeah.
That's beautiful. Yeah, beautiful. Just like Sula was talking about in her experiences. She really has a passion for teaching, but all the frightened parts that came up in all kinds of different ways throughout her life so that she could actually really teach with no agenda, no frightened parts. So same thing. So beautiful. Thank you, Janet. Thanks for sharing that. Yeah, good to see you. See you soon. I would like to call on Karsha.
You're still there.
Hi. You know, I'm just learning how to work Zoom. So if you see me rotating my picture and I'm turning around, that's why. I'm just learning it. Can you hear me?
I can hear you very well.
Are you just learning about authentic power?
I'm learning your words for it. And yes, I'm learning more and more about it. Thank you. I've kind of... had a sense of it, but didn't really know what to call it. I wanted to speak about passion. Passion has always been very powerful for me. As a young girl, I wanted to be a nurse. And so I grew up, and it took a long time for me to get there, but I did right in the middle, right when the HIV movement started. So I was one of the first nurses that was on the HIV stuff back when it was scary, you know, back when the coronavirus is now, it's like that back in the 70s. So one of the things that happened was I got so much self-fulfillment out of it. And I was so almost high from it, you know, because I worked so hard at it for trying to address the needs of the people in those days. Well, one of the things I learned, which dropped me to my core, was I learned about, and for want of a better word, codependency. And so I learned that all the things that, I mean, I thought I was Mother Teresa. I thought I was really doing really well, you know, until I learned about how much we, even in our good intentions, we can use that, and it hurts, you know, what we're trying to do to help other people. Anyway,
Karsha?
Yes.
Karsha, could you make that an I statement instead of a we statement?
Okay, sure. Yeah. Okay. not sure where I left off. But, you know, over, I tried really hard to learn how to do my service with a clean heart and a pure heart. And it's always been quite challenging to kind of work through those issues, because one of the things that I did learn was that from listening to you is how so many of us, was how I am one of the many who comes in to the earth feeling like they're not good enough. So I learned that those were hooked up very strong for me. So I have no answers. I'm just trying to show up and introduce myself. And that's probably one of my biggest issues right there, or growth. I won't call it issue. It's more personal growth.
Mm-hmm. Well, thank you for sharing, Karsha. Yes. It is challenging, the journey for everyone through the Earth School. Even though the journeys are different, the challenges are still real. Yes. And they're difficult. But that's where the gratification begins to emerge. And that has to do with passion, not with accomplishment or pride of accomplishment or self-image, mm-hmm. just simply doing what feels so good and appropriate mm-hmm. to do, regardless of whether it's accepted, rejected, and mm-hmm. and without attachment to it.
Right.
So you're well into the journey, and all of us are.
Yeah.
And as we begin to create authentic power, we simply become more aware of the journey that we're on. And that awareness is enabled by the huge transformation in consciousness, the epic, unprecedented transformation that is mm-hmm. now underway. Mm-hmm. In the 1940s or the 1930s, there wouldn't be very many people who would have these kind of discussions or could.
Yeah.
In fact, these kind of discussions would frighten them because they're five sensory and they had a different understanding of power.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Thank you very much, Karsha.
Thank you,
Karsha. Thank you.
Good to
Thank you.
Hear from you. Mm-hmm. And I'd like to call on one more person, Randy. And I'm not sure if Leo had his hand up or not, but let's start with Randy, and then we're going to be ending the call right away after that. So, but I'm just so filled with the richness of what we've been talking about today, beloved. It's so beautiful to hear all of you and for all of us to be together on the call. Really wonderful. Yes, Randy.
Yeah, good morning. Yeah, I'm feeling the richness here. I'm starting pretty early out here, so when I sat down, I was still waking up, but this is very inspiring for me. The word that came to mind for me is it's around teaching. When I was in university, I was a teaching assistant, and I discovered something about my love of teaching. It wasn't about giving my knowledge to someone else. It was about helping peers in the classroom to connect with things they already knew. So the word for me was enabling. And I had a teaching method. I call it a teaching method where it's funny. I got the Friday afternoon class in a freshman engineering curriculum. And my intuition said, this is going to be a really fulfilling class because no one wanted to be in an engineering lab on Friday afternoon, especially the freshmen. They didn't want to be there. So they weren't coming in being very competitive or anything. They were just there. And so I took this class, and we started out. I would just present just the simplest idea and then give it back to people in the class and say, let's just talk about what we know about this. And it began this process of revelation where everybody there knew the answer. They knew what they were learning. And my role was just to get them so passionate about what they knew that I could help them draw it out. I could help them get connected with what they knew inside. And that's just one story, but I'm realizing that that's a recurring theme for me. As a musician, singer, songwriter, I can have frightened parts active that want to be a performer, but I have loving parts active that want to be enlightening. Whether I'm an enlightener or not, that's up to the person who listens, but I'm just putting light out there for the sheer joy of it, and then just seeing what happens, seeing what it creates for other people.
Without attachment, I assume.
Without attachment, yeah. Without attachment. Been a puzzle for me, because any of these activities can have a whole lot of baggage of attachment attached to them. And I'm learning not to fall into that, to let go of that, and just do it for the love of it.
That's beautiful. Mm-hmm. Thank you, Randy. I heard a Chan master once say that he was explaining something about something in Buddhist scripture, but he described it this way, like a bird flying through the air, like a knife cutting through water. You leave no trace behind. That's a way of being in the world. But he said, be aware. You cannot do this if you have one hair's breadth of attachment. So how wide, how much breadth in terms of width does a hair have? A hair on your head. The abbot said, the Chan master said, you cannot be like that if you have one hair's breadth of attachment. Well, thank you, Randy. And Leo, did you have your hand up earlier?
I think Leo keeps getting cut off the call.
Okay.
So Leo, if Leo has anything to say,
We'll see him soon. By the way, for those of you who might not know the program people are talking about, usually they could be talking about a summer retreat called A Journey to the Soul, but usually they're talking about the Authentic Power Immersion, which is the program that many of the people, perhaps as many as half, are in this call are on. And whether you come here,
are in that program and coming to the event next week,
or in the program, coming to the event, mm-hmm. coming to these calls, whatever brings you here, I'm grateful that you're here.
Yes.
And I'm looking forward to hearing from you more in the future about what your realizations are and your insights, and mostly Indeed. Your passion and your meaning. Mm-hmm. And what brings that to you.
Mm-hmm. And we'll be back with all of you on Saturday, April 4th again on a call like this.
Another Life School call.
Yeah, Life School, year-long program, Authentic Power Immersion program, call. So let's do a moment of silence before we end our call.
And then we'll unmute everyone so that we can all say goodbye and hear each other's voices
Indeed.
Together. And then we'll see you next week.
Indeed.
Next month.
Next month. Yeah. And some of you next week.
And some of you next week.
Yes. Yeah. May your day be filled with your passion, or finding your passion.
Indeed.
Blessings to all of you.
So would you...
Bye, everyone.
Bye.
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 Bye.